Our text reveals the only time in which angels ever broke through the veil, a group of angels to deal with a group of people just to rejoice over what was going on in heaven. We know that there had been times when an angel appeared to people to deliver a message. And one angel is fully sufficient to give a message. It happened when John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah, was standing in the temple. An angel came to deliver the good news. It was plenty for Mary. Joseph got his marching orders from an angel in his dreams. No angels were present the night that the Red Sea parted and the Israelites passed across. That was a special event. David didn't get a visit from one when he carried his sling out to meet the giant. Now, if you're David and you're going out to meet Goliath, wouldn't you kind of like to have an angel walking along? But no such appearance. There were no angels with Elijah on the mountain. Oh, they could be seen as he faced off with the prophets of Baal. There were times when angels appeared in pairs. A couple of them accompanied the Lord as he visited with Abraham and Sarah. And then there were a couple of them that ushered Lot out of Sodom before the fire fell. Jacob saw quite a few angels going up and down the staircase into heaven. The Bible says that there were several times Jesus was ministered to by angels, but a number isn't mentioned. Our text has multiple angels interacting with multiple people just to worship the Lord. They're both delivering a message and worshiping God for what is happening in these days. Imagine this. Heaven's worship team showed up in a field near Bethlehem to spread the good news to a group of shepherds of what's going on. Heaven is absolutely bursting with joy. This is a once in the history of the world happening. Heaven came down and glory filled the field where they were standing. Man is going to be redeemed. The Savior has come, and the angels couldn't be happier about it. The angels are ecstatic because God Himself is exuberant in these moments. Can you imagine God, creator of it all of this universe, all of the galaxies? And he's just as excited as you were when you were 6 years old and you knew that tomorrow was going to be Christmas and you were hoping for that Daisy BB gun or that cabbage patch or whatever that you couldn't wait to have. Can you imagine the heart of God beating just a little bit faster for the joy of this holy night? The mission to free the world has been launched. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. Till he appeared. The curse is doomed as hope is born. Note what the angel says. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. This news is good. It will produce joy to those who hear it, and it is for every person on the face of the earth. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, we know that for the longest time, this battle has been raging between angels and demons. It's been going on ever since the fall of man in the garden. It was created beautiful, it was created perfect, but then this snake came in. And there was enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the snake. And there was a division and there was this battle. Satan is here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We get a glimpse of this battle in the book of Daniel, where we're told that the angel that came to Daniel said, was on my way 21 days ago, but I got in this battle over Persia with the evil forces there, and Michael the archangel came and he helped me and I was able to break through and I'm bringing you the message. We get a glimpse of this battle as the ages roll down through history. Before the cross, the souls of people were in dispute. Souls were not kept in heaven and hell, but in a holding place called Sheol. Jesus talks about it in the parable or in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You recall that Lazarus was in a good place. He was in Abraham's bosom, and he was comforted there. But there was a place of torment in Sheol as well, and that's where the rich man landed. And the rich man in his torment could look across a great gulf, and he could see that Lazarus was doing well. And he said, "Oh, Father Abraham, could you have Lazarus just dip his finger in water and cool my tongue with it?" And Abraham said, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. But this gulf between us is fixed. We cannot go from here to there, nor you from there to here. Oh, if you can't come here, Father Abraham, then send somebody to tell my brothers not to come to this place." And he said, "I'm sorry. If they did not listen to the prophets, they will not listen to even somebody raised from the dead." And then you'll recall that it tells us in the epistles that Jesus led captivity captive. When Jesus went to the inner parts, when he went to Sheol, he liberated those that were of God. And now to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He led captivity captive. And from that holding place. And now, even now, you'll recall in Revelation, it says that there will be a day when those not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. There is a place of torment, but it's not the lake of fire yet. There will be a judgment day that is coming. So can you imagine being held in a place? It's a beautiful place. But you're waiting for your Savior to come. And there is this give and take, this ebb and flow, this pull. And every time that a soul is in dispute, the demons will cackle. And they will state that because of the fall of Adam, they have the right to steal, kill, and to destroy. But now a Savior has been born. One who will deliver all. One who will make a claim that is righteous, that is holy, that is pure, and we will be redeemed. One who will satisfy the demands of the curse, for the wages of sin is death. But the holy, righteous, pure Lamb has come. They don't see the whole scene. The angels don't know what is next. They don't know how it will unfold. The demons can't be sure what is to come. But this much the angels know, the righteous one has come. All that is written about him in the scriptures will be fulfilled. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it in justice and righteousness from that time on. And one of my favorite words in scripture, forevermore. And he shall reign forever and ever. If I was George Beverly Shea, I would break out in the hallelujah chorus for you. But since I'm not, I'll bless you by not doing that. But forever he will reign. And this is what the angels felt on that night. Yes, he's here. I don't know. I see a lot from my generation here. If you remember old studio wrestling, I haven't watched wrestling for the longest time, this modern stuff, WWF, but back in the day, back in Pittsburgh, we had Bruno Sammartino, and we had DiNucci and the DiNucci spin, and we had the claw, the Kowalski claw, and all of these guys, and sometimes they would tag team wrestle, and they would send the puny guy out there and both of the bad guys would be out there beating on the puny guy for all he's. And the puny guy would be stretching out, reaching, reaching. Could he touch, tag the other guy? And in would come Bruno or one of the heroes, and he'd beat up both of the other guys. You know, that the tag team has been. This is what the angels experienced. They had been wrestling with the forces of evil, and they had known their dark days. They were believing in God, but boy, it was a battle. Tag. Our Savior has come. He's going to show darkness a defeat that they never saw coming. Don't know how all it's going to take place, but he's here. Our Savior is in house. Emmanuel, God, is with us. The angels are ecstatic, and the shepherds, they're just stunned. Did you note that word in our verse? It said, and they were terrified. The angels showed up and the shepherds were, I happen to believe, however, although that was their initial response, by the time the angels were done making their announcements, by the time the angels were done rejoicing, I think the shepherds were starting to get their worship groove on too. They were starting to say, wow, this is awesome. This is amazing. At least they were excited enough to go check it out. And once they had found the baby, they told everybody else about the glorious things they had experienced that morning. Same chapter, Luke chapter 2. We go on down to verse 34. It says, when Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now, up till now, every word that is spoken over this revelation from heaven to a person has been good. It's been encouraging. It's been joyful. Mary had been told that she found favor with God. Zechariah was told about the revelation of the Messiah and the deliverance of Israel. Elizabeth prophesied wonderful things over Mary and her child. And of course, the shepherds were told about good news of great joy for everyone. By the same grace that brought the good news, a heads up is given to Mary. It is miraculous, it is cosmic, but it won't be easy, and it won't be without its soul cutting seasons. Soon Mary and her family would have to flee to Egypt. Soon the king would make this edict that every child 2 years and younger found in the area would be killed. God gave Jesus to Mary and Joseph, and yet when he was 12 years old, they lost him for 3 days. I don't know if you've ever lost a child for 20 minutes. It's quite a heart-wrenching ordeal. There was a time when Mary and her brothers, Mary and Jesus's brothers, her other sons, went to take charge of Jesus because it kind of looked like he was going nuts. He was overwhelmed with the ministry, so it seemed. She was a believer. Her other sons were not. Perhaps she thought that all of this is what Simeon was referring to when he said that her soul would be pierced. Little could she have imagined the horror of seeing her lovely Jesus hanging from a cross, his blood dripping down. And I wonder if she ever wondered why the angels sang so heartily on that first night. How could he be so joyful if he knew this was coming? Doesn't it seem a little cruel? Good news, great joy. This is wonderful. The Savior has come. Mary, you have found favor with God. If I have found favor with you, how could you rip my heart out like this? Does this look like favor to you? Why had God been so pleased? And it's here I want us to focus today. It's here we learn a valuable life lesson from God Himself. There will be days that are good. There will be seasons of your life. It is right to rejoice. It is right to be happy. We are not to be a people who are foreboding. Oh, the Bible says that there will be dark times in the last days. And so we carry around, don't bother, don't worry about a wedding, don't worry about a birthday, because dark days are coming. We need to prepare. There is a sense to prepare, of course. But God has given us this life to be enjoyed. And He is with us when we rejoice in the good days. A baby is born. Hallelujah. Sure, you're not going to sleep for a couple of years, but hallelujah, a baby's been born. Isn't it cute? And look at it smile and develop and grow. And I've learned this in life. You'll be sad on the sad days, so you might as well be happy on the happy days. Let that balance come to your life. And there are good days, rejoice. There will be terrible days when it is right to weep and to wail. I think one of the things we do wrong as Christians sometimes is we don't give one another a permission to grieve. We don't give one another permission to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't fear the evil, but there is a grief that comes to a soul in certain seasons. And I don't know about you, but I have learned more about my God in those seasons than other times in my life. He meets me there. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. Don't neglect the dark seasons of the soul. In fact, I was just reading this morning in Genesis. That's where my devotions are right now. And it says that God made a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham divided certain animals and spread them out. And the vultures tried to light on me, shoot them away. And in the middle of the night, Abraham had a dark and troubling dream, a terrifying dream. Isn't that amazing? I'm meeting with God and it's absolutely terrifying. Same word with the shepherds. I saw an angel and it freaked me out to no end. But then God came, and a torch came between the halves of the sacrifice, and God made a covenant with Abraham. Life lesson. God does not shy away from terrifying us. Being horrified really gets our attention. Would you agree with that? Being completely undone makes us a sponge in the presence of God. Whereas a day before we may not have given them a thought, now our every focus is hungrily looking for a word, for a touch, for a movement from heaven. Oh, God, help us. There will be terrible days when it's right and fitting to weep and wail. But even in the weeping, we know that God is working. And we know that it is all a package. It is a package. I had two lollipops left, two Tootsie Pops left, and I had two grandsons that wanted a Tootsie Pop, and one was cherry and one was lemon. And the older one thought he wanted lemon. And he started licking on it and found out he didn't want lemon. But boy, he sure wanted that Tootsie roll in the center. And so crunch, 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 spit, 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 crunch, crunch, crunch. By the time we found him, Meemaw's countertop was pretty sticky. But he wanted that center. He knew the good stuff was coming. That's a picture of life, my friend. There are seasons you go through where maybe even what you thought you wanted wasn't what it appeared at first. Crunch, crunch, but you want what's coming. You want what is coming. We can rejoice in the good and endure the evil because joy is coming in the morning. Yes, Mary's heart was shredded at the foot of the cross. But can you imagine her joy at the resurrection? Can you imagine her joy when she saw Jesus whole? Oh, hallelujah. You can't have a resurrection without a crucifixion. Yes, her own soul was pierced too. But even after that, her feet danced in joy. We find Mary and her other sons in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Yes, she had suffered. Yes, it had been miserable. Yes, it was difficult. But she saw her family come to Christ. What is that worth? She endured the birthing pains, the hurried move to Egypt, the disfavor of the high priest, the unbelief of Jesus' brothers, the torture of the trial, the crucifixion. But now she sat in a room with her whole family, awaiting the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Father rejoiced on Christmas, even though he knew the cross was coming, because he saw it as a complete package. With this, man would be redeemed. You know, I thought over this, and I thought, you know, if I was chosen, and I was only going to send my angels down there to rejoice once, I think I'd wait until the resurrection. I think that would be the happy time. It's finished, the trial is over, the victory has been won. But in God, it's always a package. He sees the end from the beginning. Victory is already ours in Jesus Christ. Though we may be struggling, though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. That's why God could always speak to his prophets in glowing terms, even though they were personally suffering or might even have been martyred. He saw the victory. And friend, if I can minister one thing to you this morning, your life is complete. It is already with God in Christ. You are already in the heavenlies. It is done. You may, for the next little while, have to walk through some dark moments and times. But in God, he's already started the party. There is a place reserved for you in heaven. And you will victoriously overcome. You know, we might say, well, wait a second. Let's make sure that Jesus makes it through those temptations in the desert. Let's make sure that Jesus can endure the opposition of those evil people. Let's wait. Make sure that he stays true even on the cross. The Father said, no sweat. He's got this. And when he created you, when he mapped out your life, he said the same thing. No sweat. He or she's got this. I have given them everything they need for life and godliness. I have given them everything they need to have a song in the middle of the night. I have spoken it, and it will be. You see, without faith, no one will see the Lord. And you and I are called to be people of faith, to hold on no matter what happens in our life. if you can be shaken loose from your faith, if there is a sorrow severe enough, a trial hard enough, then you will be shaken loose from it. How many people do you know, they used to go to church, but then this happened. They used to trust in God, but then that happened. If you can be shaken loose, you will be. But look at Mary. Look at what she saw. Were the people that have an excuse today not to be in church, did they go through what that poor woman went through? Not in the least. But she held on. She believed that what she heard was true. She believed that all would work together for the good of the kingdom. She believed that God is a redeeming God. But if your faith holds, you will be able to endure any sickness, any sorrow, any loss, until the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. Christmas assures us that our Savior has come, He is with us now, and He will take us home. No weapon prevails, no power of hell can dislodge us. Jesus came, and we are going home. The angels could rejoice at the birth of Jesus. All of heaven could light up, even though the cross was yet to be won. Now you and I can rejoice, because whatever we face, we too will overcome, because He is Emmanuel, God with us. David didn't see an angel as he walked out with his little sling against that giant, but he knew his God was with him. Friend, I want to encourage your heart today. I don't know what Goliath you've got in the way. You can already start rejoicing because the victory is won. God has sealed it. It is complete. Joy comes in the morning. Would you stand with me? I'm going to sing a chorus, but I don't want you to just sing it. I want you to believe it. It is the truth.
Feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can't.
there's a good hallelujah there. Yeah, she's feeling it, man. So get your little sling. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Aren't you kind of ashamed? I know I am. When you look back over.